Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erevin Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on the fourth line from the top, which is the beginning of the Gemara, after having, of course, learned the Mishnah at the end of our previous shiur. We should point out that Daf Nun Gimel and Daf Nun Dalet, the next two Dafim, are primarily of an agadic nature. So that having been said, we notice some diamonds on the side of our Gemara under our Mivneh heading. We noted that these are a Sidra, a series of a Machloikis, Shal Machloikis Rav Ushmuel B'Mashmo'us Loshon. You'll see different issues concerning the issues of language that they debate. So the Gemara opens. Rav Ushmuel, Chad Toni, one of them teaches Me'abrin, that the word in the Mishnah of Ketzed Me'abrin is with an ayin, and the Chad Toni Me'abrin, the other opinion, looks at the same word but spells it with an aleph. Man Detoni Me'abrin, the one who approaches the issue of Ma'abrin, which we explained in our last year, has to do with establishing the belt, the distance around a city measuring 70 and two-thirds amos, a belt that is exists around the city for, we'll say loosely speaking or generally speaking, for municipal purposes. That is the Ibur Ho'ir. Beyond that, we start then measuring the 2,000 amos that measures the tchum of the city, the distance one is allowed to walk beyond the city limits on Shabbos. So how does one spell that word? And that's the debate we're dealing with right now. The Gemara goes on, Man Detoni Ma'abrin, the approach that spells it with an aleph, understands the issue of the Mishnah in terms of aver, limbs of a city. Rashi says, Aver, Shemoisifin lo Avorim, we add limbs, so to speak, to the city. Shem Yesh Aver Shiotzimina Ir Bekerim Mizrachus Dremis, if there is a protrusion from the southeastern corner of the city. Royan Kilu Aver Gam Bekerim Mizrachus Tzvoinis, we, in our mind's eye, view that at the northeastern corner there is a similar protrusion. Moididin Misham, and in effect we draw a line between the two protrusions and then start measuring from that point outwards. Uman Detoni Me'avrin, the approach that learns the word in the Mishnah as spelled with an ayin, ki isha ubra, as a pregnant woman. And as we explained in our Mishnah, the nature of a pregnant woman is that her belly extends beyond her normal dimensions. So too, with regard to the city, there are things that extend beyond the city itself at, from which we start our measuring system. Me'oras HaMachpelah, the burial site of our forefathers, our matriarchs and patriarchs in Hebron, is known as the Me'oras HaMachpelah. What is behind the word, the term, or the name? Rav Ushmul Chad Omar Shnei Botim Zeh Lifnim Mizeh, that it was a double chamber cave with two Botim, are literally houses, or two rooms, one further in from the other. V'chad Omar Bayis Valio Al Gavov, it was a two-story setup with a lower level and an upper level. So the Gemara goes on, Bishlamo Leman de Omar Ze Al Gav Ze Hainu Machpelah. The term Machpelah that the Torah assigns to this burial site, the Moras HaMachpelah, is most appropriate if you learn it or understand its architecture in terms of, or its structure, is one above the other. The term Machpelah is appropriate for a two-story structure. Elolamanda Omar Shnei Botim Zeh Lifnim Zeh Mai Machpelah. But if it's an inner chamber and an outer chamber, the term Machpelah is inappropriate for that kind of structure or construction. Therefore, what does Machpelah mean? The answer, Shekfula Bezugos, that it's has multiple, kfula literally is double, or in this case it means multiple couples are buried there. You have Avram and his wife Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yankov and Leah. Mamre Kiryas Arba, in the context of the of Hebron, or which is also known as Kiryas Arba, it refers to it as that place, the city of the four. Omer of Yitzhak, Kiryas HaArba Zugos. It's the city, the Kiryas, the city of the four couples. Adam v'Chava, that's one couple. Avram v'Sara, Yitzhak v'Rivka, Yankiv v'Leah. Vayhi b'mei Amrofel. Another Machlokis, Rav and Shmuel, regarding names referred to here. This is a section in Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Lech Lecha, which featured the well-known battle between the four kings and the five kings. And it says, and it was in the days of Amrofel. Chad Rav Shmuel, Chad Omar Nimrod Shmo. One says that Amrofel was really known as Nimrod. That was his official name. The Lama Nikro Shmo Amrofel. Why does the Torah refer to him with this alternative name? Answer, Sha'amar v'hipil la'avroham avinu b'soch kivshonaish. The word Amrofel is a type of contraction of these two words. Amar v'hipil means he said or he commanded and had Avraham cast into a kivshonaish, a furnace. And there's an entire story behind that incident where Avraham Avinu challenged the philosophy of idolatry. And he was with the belief in the almighty, omnipotent God, and he was put to the test and part of that was being thrown into a kivshon ha'esh. V'chad Omar Amrofel Shmo. The other opinion is that Amrofel was his real name. V'loma Nikro Shmo Nimrod. So why is he referred to by the name Nimrod? Answer, Shehem Reed as Kolo Kulo Olav B'machuso. Now this line, if we give a literal translation to it, you'll find it to be euphemistic. But without the literal translation, means that Nimrod attempted to cause, him Reed is to cause a rebellion. So he caused the world to rebel against the Almighty. Vayokom Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim. Rav Shmuel, Chalomar Chodosh Mamish, one of the two opinions says that in this section of the Torah at the beginning of Sefer Shmois, a new king was established, meaning an actual new king, as opposed to the same king that was ruling at the time of Yosef and continued his reign into the era that ushered in the enslavement of the Jews. So one opinion says that there arose a new king, which, as we said, this is the period which ushered in the enslavement of the Jews. This opinion says that he really was a new ruler. The other opinion says that he was really the same ruler at the time of Yosef that continued ruling, Shinishchatshuk Zerosov, that his edicts became new, that from a previous, we'll say, friendly posture toward the Jewish people, he changed face. The opinion that says that he was literally a new king, because the Pasuk says Chodosh. The opinion that says that he simply issued new edicts, but he wasn't a new ruler. He was the same person. Midlok siv. It doesn't say vayomos vayimloch, that there was the death of a previous ruler and the ascending of a new ruler. So since it doesn't indicate that there was a death, it apparently was the same individual. And the term chodosh, which usually means new, simply means newness with regard to his relationship and his edicts. According to the opinion that says he issued new edicts, but does it not say that he did not know Yosef? And if it were someone that was a new emperor, a new ruler, I can understand that he didn't read history, so he didn't know Yosef. But if you say it's the same person that ruled at the time of Yosef, how do you explain this, the pasuk that testifies to the seeming fact that he did not know Yosef? My asher lo yodas Yosef, what does that mean? It really means Davi Domi Keman de lo yoda le Yosef Kal. He appeared as one who didn't know Yosef. Rather, it was someone who knew very well who Yosef was. He was the ruler at the time that Yosef had been his viceroy, but he made himself like he didn't know who Yosef was. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, a triangle that appears, and on the side, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have the following, Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel Reboshaya. So there are several triangles that appear, and they have to do with a period of time that Rabbi Yochanan was learning under the auspices of Rabbi Oshaya. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Shmoino Eser Yomim, Didalti Eitzel Reboshaya Bribi. The word Bribi means great man, the leader. So Rabbi Yochanan says there were 18 days that Gidalti literally means I grew, means I spent time, 18 days, by Rav Oshaya, v'lo lamadati mimenu el dover echad b'mishnosenu. And I learned nothing from him other than one point that has relevance to our Mishnah. Ketzad me'abrines ha'orim ve'alef, that the way to read that or spell the word of our Mishnah is with an aleph, which we saw earlier in the Gemara that had to do with a loshon, an expression of aver, additional appendages to the city. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this so? But Rabbi Yochanan said that I learned nothing in the yeshiva of Rabbi Oshaya except for the spelling of the word. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shtemesrei Talmidim Hoyulo Rabbi Yoshib Ribi. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that Rabbi Oshaya had 12 students, and I spent 18 days amongst them. Velomadati leiv kol echod veechod vechochmas kol echod veechod, and I learned the characteristics of each one. The leiv kol echod veechod. Rashi says kama hoyo mechudod klomar bekulon hikarti ma charifus yesh mize loze. I understood the areas of sharpness of each one, as opposed to the other one. And Chochmas Kol Echad V'Echad, Rashi says, Kama Zeh Chochom Izeh V'Kama Lomad Yoser Mimenu. And I knew the ranking of wisdom of each one of them. So how can Rabbi Yochanan beforehand say that I learned nothing other than the spelling of the word from the Mishnah, when you see that he had quite a deep understanding of all of the different students? So the Gemara answers, answer number one, there are several answers, we've numbered them 1 through 3. Number one, Leiv kol echod ve'echod, v'chochmas kol echod ve'echod gomar, Gemara lo gomar. Rabbi Yochanan gained an awareness, I will call a social awareness, but an actual textual or content awareness of Gemara, of the actual Torah study itself, that he didn't gain over the 18 days that he spent in by Rav Oshaya, except for the spelling of the word from the Mishnah. Ibo esemo minayu didhu gomar mine didei lo gomar. Another approach is that Rabbi Yochanan actually did learn a lot from the students under the tutelage of Rav Oshaya. However, from Rav Oshaya himself, mididei, from Rav Oshaya himself, Rabbi Yochanan did not learn of anything other than the text of the Mishnah. V'boyes Ema, another approach is Dovor Echod B'Mishnosenu Ko'omar. That which Rabbi Yochanan said, that he learned only one thing, he meant one thing in as far as Mishnayis are concerned. However, other areas of learning, like Brysos, and Gemaros, other areas of the Gemara of the Torah Shebaal Peh, he did learn from Rabbi Hoshaya. When he made reference to only one thing, it's a reference to specifically from Mishnayos. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kishayinu Loimdin Torah Eitzer Rabbi Hoshaya. You'll notice we have continue with things, experiences of Rabbi Yochanan in the context of Rabbi Hoshaya. Since when we were learning by Rabbi Hoshaya, we have a double underline that we want to point out that highlights the expression Kishoyinu Lomdim Torah. We have another incident, the next line. So Rabbi Yochanan says that when we were learning by Rabbi Hoshaya, Hayinu Yoshvin Arbo Ba'amo, that it was a rather tight fit. In other words, four people sat within the area of one amo. Omar Rebbe represents a generation before, one generation earlier, and he says, "Kishoinu lomdin tor etzel Reb Lozer ben Shamua, hoinu yoshvim shisha shisha b'amo." We sat in a even a more compacted fashion, six people within one amo to learn from the Rebbe, from Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shai Rebbe Bedoro, Rabbi Meir Bedoro. Rabbi Shai in his generation was like Rabbi Meir in his generation. There was a, you know, historically it was about maybe two or three generations between these two people, but each one was, that Rabbi Shai was like Rabbi Meir from the previous generation. In what sense? Ma Rabbi Meir Bedoro lo yochlu chavir v'lamod al sov daito. Just like in Rabbi Meir's generation, his colleagues could not fathom the depths of Rabbi Meir's reasoning. And this is something we had learned earlier in this Masichta, back on Daf Yud Gimel. We learned about Rabbi Meir's deep style of learning. So too, Af Rabbi Hoshaya lo yochlu chavir v'lamod asof daito. So too, in Rabbi Hoshaya's generation, his colleagues were not able to fathom the depths of his reasoning. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Libon shel Rishonim, Kepischa shel Ulam, the heart of the early generations has such expanse like the Pischa, like the opening of the Ulam. The Ulam was the antechamber leading into the Beis HaMikdash, which had a wider opening, a larger opening than the opening to the more inner Heichal chamber. So he says that the earlier generations had this wide expanse to them. V'shel achronim, the later generations, kipischo shel heichal, had the more limited expanse, like the entrance to the heichal. And the use of the house marking that you see here, we have on the side of our Gemara, Yeridas Hadoros. We'll see the decrease of quality of generations as time goes on. And we continue. The Anu, the speaker here, is Rabbi Yochanan. He is saying, the Anu kimelo nekev machat sidkis. Since we're talking about openings, an expanse of heart, of wisdom, of knowledge, of Torah understanding. So Rabbi Yochanan testifies about himself, his own generation, is like the opening. The nekev is an opening of a machat, of a needle. Sidkis is a needle that's used for fine sewing. So we're talking about a very small hole. Now, what's kind of amazing is as the Gemara goes on, it tells you the historical context or reference to these early generations and later generations. Rishonim equals Rabbi Akiva. Achronim equals Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua. And so if you calculate these generations, you're talking about a span of time from Rabbi Akiva down to Rabbi Yochanan. And this great decrease in knowledge. Bearing in mind that Rabbi Akiva, for example, was the Rebbe of the likes of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir was the Rabbi Akiva had several students, had five prominent students. Amongst them was Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shibar Yochai, and you have here a reference to Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua. And following that generation, for example, Rabbi Meir had in turn a student, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi. And Rabbi Yehuda Anossi had amongst his students the likes of Rabbi Yochanan. So from Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yochanan, you're talking about four generations. And yet you see this massive decline in, we'll call it in abilities or Torah quality of learning. Ikar D'Amri, another version of the generations, is Rishonim equals Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua, that Rabbi Yochanan made reference to the Libun Shel Rishonim, like Pischa Shel Ulam. He was referring to Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua, and Achronim equals Rabbi Shaya Baribi. V'onu Kamalo Nekev Machat Sidkis. And as we saw before, Rabbi Yochanan testifying about himself says that he is like the, has the expanse of the eye of a needle. Omar Abaye V'anan, and now we continue with subsequent generations, and you'll see further descriptions. V'anan ki sichso begudo l'gemara. Sichso is a stake or a spike, trying to get a spike to be inserted into a guda, a wall. It's something very difficult. To hammer a spike into a wall, it might have a very small opening in which to start hammering the spike into the wall. He says, we are like that, l'gemara, with regard to gemara learning. In other words, it comes very hard to us. Omar Rava, v'anan ki etzba'osa bekira l'svara. And he says, we are like the inserting of a finger into kira, into a block of wax, when it comes to svara, when it comes to analysis. In other contexts, we see the term gemara in contrast to the word svara. We had this in this mesichta as well, where Rabbi Meir initially had trouble learning by Rabbi Akiva, and the gemara says he went to learn by Rabbi Shmuel. And it says there, Gomar Gemara. Then he went back to Rabbi Akiva, Vesovar Savora. So the term Gemara might very well have to do with amassing sources and facts. And yet Abaye says that this, even that is difficult for us. Rava says, and it's when it comes to analysis, it comes with great difficulty, like placing a finger into a block of wax. Omer of Ashi, he says, "Anan ki etzba'osa bebira l'shikha." We are like the insertion of a finger into a pit when it comes to forgetting. It's very easy to get a finger into a pit, into an open pit, and that's how easily we forget things. Tosfos quotes a different girsa, the girsa of the Rach. Instead of bira, he has the word bizri. Bizri means seeds, and he describes it. Tosfos describes a person placing his finger into a pile of seeds when one removes his finger, so whatever little depression might have been created by the finger is immediately filled up by the seeds falling into the hole formed by the finger. And in that context, he says, just like the seeds immediately fill up the hole, so too, when we finish one mesichta and start the next mesichta, we immediately forget the one we just learned. Now, as on the one hand, it's not complimentary, but on the other hand, my recommendation is to take great reassurance for ourselves, being that if one sees that the element of forgetfulness it was present amongst the likes of Rav Ashi, from the greatest of our people, and yet he is describing this phenomenon of forgetting, what do we have to say, so to speak? And therefore, even if one finds that he forgets that which he's learned, he should not feel any sense of depression or disillusionment from that. Should continue his learning, and and review and daven and pray to Hashem that he should be granted a stronger memory for Torah. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Here we have a new marking. You'll see a bow tie form. And we've noted the following. Sidra. There's a series here. Adifus shel b'nei Yehuda al b'nei Goliel b'limud Torah. The Gemara will highlight a certain attributes or advantages that the people from the Yehuda region of Israel had over the people from the northern Galilean region of Israel. So he says, "B'nei Yehuda shekpidu al l'shenam niskaimo toirosam biyadam." The people from the Goliel region, when it came to their study of Torah, they were very careful to speak in a pure, clean type of speech. So as a result of their consideration and concern with their type of speech, so their Torah learning lasted with them. In other words, they, Niskaimo, generally speaking, is they remembered their Torah learning. B'nei Goliel, the Gemara says, Shalo hikpidu al l'shoinam, lo niskaimo toirosam biyodam. They, on the other hand, were not as concerned about the purity of speech, so they were less successful in maintaining their Torah learning. The Gemara asks, Midi b'kpeda talya milsa? Is there really an association between remembering Torah and the choice of words that one makes? Elo, rather, more accurately, and you can see we have a little base here because this is the second version of what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is really trying to say. So he says, B'nei Yehuda dedaiki lishna umisnichi lehu simona niskaimo toirosan biyodon. The B'nei Yehuda who were medayik means precise in their learning. Rashi describes them as people that would say over, they would repeat what they learned using the same expressions as their teachers. And another point that Gemara mentions is misnichi luhu simono, means to place signs in order to remember their learning. Especially in view of the fact, as Rashi says, they were learning things orally. In order to maintain a clear oral tradition, there was need for different types of memory devices or signs that they would use in order to enable people to remember things. B'nei Goliel, the Gemara continues, D'lo daiki lishna v'lo misnichi luhu simona lo niskaimo toirosan biyodam. They were not careful in saying over and repeating things in the same language that their teachers had told them, and they didn't practice the making of simonim, so they were not successful in maintaining and remembering their Torah. B'nei Yehuda Gomru Mechad Rabo Niskaimo Torosan Biodam. B'nei Yehuda, who learned in their initial Torah learning from one teacher. In other words, Jews from the Yehuda region, which was the southern part of Israel, they would, amass primary sources, basic knowledge from one Rav, and that enabled them to maintain their Torah learning. In other words, you can have two people saying the same thing, but in different styles, and it becomes confusing if you try to remember different points from different people who speak in different styles. So the B'nai Yehuda were expedient in their Torah learning to amass basic Torah knowledge from one teacher. B'nai Goliel lo gamri mechad rabo lo niskaimo toirosan biyodon. The B'nai Goliel, on the other hand, were not so concerned with getting their information from one rabbi. They would hear from this one, they would hear from that one, and the different expressions that different rabbis used would serve as a source of confusion. Ravina, Omar, Bnei Yehuda, the Golul Masechta, Neskaimo, Teros, and Biyodam. The Bnei Yehuda, who were Golul Masechta, there are two pshotim in Rashi as to what Golul Masechta means. The first pshat is that they taught others. Another lashon is in Rashi is they were very careful in explaining reasons behind that which they learned. Rashi says, you can see on the fourth line from the bottom, Lishna Achrina, Meforshim Shmosein, Daktikim B'taimu Shudavarche Mesyashev V'libon. They would be very careful to make sure that that which they were learning was clear and understood by them. So as a result of this concern and diligence, they were successful in keeping and maintaining their Torah learning. Ravina Omar, Bnei Yehuda, we pointed this out already, the Golul Masechta. So they were successful in the Bnei Golul, the Lo Golul Masechta, we said, the Lo Neskama Teros and Biyodan. So far we've seen the ideas of Daiki Lishna, that was the first approach. The second approach, the number two approach, was they learned from one Rav. And the third approach is that they were Golul Masechta. David Golul Masechta, Sholo Golul Masechta. David accomplished this. Golul Masechta means, as we saw, maybe it means he taught others, or says he was very careful in making sure reasons behind things were clear before going on. So David, who was in fulfillment of Golul Masechta, so David had a long, successful kingdom. Shaul lo Golul Masechta. Shaul, on the other hand, David HaMelech's predecessor was not Golul Masechta. David Golul Masechta k'siv bei Yirecha Yeruni v'yismichu. With regard to David, it says that those that fear you will be happy. And Shaul de lo Golul Masechta k'siv bei uvechol asher yifne yarshia. As opposed to Shaul, we see David in contrast to Shaul, who was not Golul Masechta. The pasuk describes him as everything he turned to was unsuccessful. He wasn't zeche. He wasn't successful in ruling kehalocha. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shemoch lo Kadosh Baruch Hu al ois avon. From where does one know that Shaul was forgiven for the sin involving the killing of the city of Nov, which was known as Nov Ir HaKohanim? So from what do we know that he, Shaul, who had in a, we'll call it indirect fashion, was responsible for the death of the people of Nov, that he was forgiven for that sin? Shenemar, Mochor Atov Anecho Imi. The pasuk that features the imminent death of Shaul says that tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. And Imi means b'mechitzasi, in my precinct, in my sanctum, inner sanctum. So that someone who is forgiven, someone who is pious, deserves to be b'mechitzasi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Rabbi Abba, Iiko demashil lehu levnei Yehuda dedaiki lishni. Skipping the bracketed section, Yadi. If someone would ask the people from Yehuda who were careful with their speech, with their choice of expressions, Yadi means they. If you ask them, so it would then be known how to read the Mishnah. And what happens in the bracketed section? There are a couple of examples of words that could be spelt in two ways, and that's the issue of how do we spell the words found in Mishnayos. So let's go over this point again, Rabbi Abba says, if someone would ask the Bnei Yehuda, who were Daiki Lishni, Ma'abrin Tanan, Oy Ma'abrin Tanan, is the word spelled with an Aleph or an Ayin, and from a totally different context, comes from Maseches Bechoros, which deals in part with the issue of animal blemishes. So it discusses Akuzo Tanan, O Akuzo Tanan, is the word in Maseches Bechoros spelled with an Aleph or with an Ayin. Rashi gives you more of the background as to what the particular blemish of akuz is. You can refer, as we said, to Rashi. For our purposes, though, we're trying to accentuate the diligence and precision of the Bnei Yehuda in their Torah learning, that they would know how to gores and how to spell these words as found in the Mishnayos. Continuing on the next line, Sha'ilinu, we asked of him, V'amri lei, and he answered, Iko detoni ma'abrin, v'iko detoni ma'abrin, Iko detoni akuzo, v'iko detoni akuzo. In fact, the two possibilities are what reflect the fact that different groups of people learn these words in two different ways, or using two different spellings. Before we continue in the Gemara, we turn our attention to the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The double underline highlights the Bnei Yehuda versus the Bnei Goliel, as each one being Daiki or Lo Daiki Lishna. Bnei Yehuda Daiki Lishna Mahi. What is an example of the care that Bnei Yehuda took in their speech? And a little incident. Dahu Bar Yehuda, the Omar Luhu, Talis Yesh Li Limkor. There was a person from the Yehuda region who said that I have a talis, an article of clothing to sell. Omrulei, they asked him, Ma Gavan, my Gavan Talisach, what's the color of the garment? Omar Luhu, and he answered them in this rather picturesque or possibly descriptive way. He said, Kitreden Ale Adoma, like the color of Treden growing on the ground. Treden is a type of vegetable that grows, but for our purposes, he successfully communicated in an accurate fashion the color of the garment. Bnei Goliel de Lo Daiki Lishna Maihi, what is an example of the inaccuracy of the Galilean speech. Dahu Barglila, Davakozil, the Omar Luhu, there was a Galilean who was walking along and requested Amar Leman. So he used a word that sounded like Aleph Mem Resh, Amar Leman. But that is very unclear. Omru Le, they asked him, Glila Shoitov, you foolish Galilean. Chamar Lemirkav, the letters in Hebrew have a formal or traditional way of pronouncing them. And he was careful in their pronunciation, so it is clear what his intention is. The Aleph letter could be mispronounced and would come out as possibly a ches or an ayin, and each word has a different meaning. So they asked him, you're asking who has an amar, but what are you really requesting? Are you requesting chamar lemirkav, a donkey to ride on, or chamar lemishti, or wine for drinking, amar lemilbash, or wool for clothing, or imar leis kasa'a, or an imar is a sheep for slaughtering? We have a couple incidents here that we highlight with a diamond. On the side of the Gemara, we have the Nosei Mivneh, Dibur Beloshon Chachoma. This is speech in a veiled or enigmatic form. Hahi Itza, the Bayo. Actually, let us go back. We have to make a correction here. We made reference to the wrong marking. There is a diamond marking that is a reference to Dugmos Shel Choser Diuk Bedibor, examples of inaccuracy in pronunciation, in articulating words. So we have, as we say, two stories involving this. Hahi Itzo, there was a woman, Debaya Lameimar Lechaverta, she meant to say to her friend, Ta'uch De'uchlich Chalba, come that I should be able to feed you some chalba, some fats. Omra le, but what came out was something different. What came out was shluchti tuchlech lavi, which means shluchti is a castaway, may a lavi is a lioness, tuchlech is to eat. May my castaway, a lioness, should devour you. So from what should have been toy du'uchlich chalba, because of the inaccuracy of pronunciation and related deficiencies, what came out was shluchti tuchlich lavi. As we said, some type of curse where she says a lioness should devour you. Ahi itza, there was another incident. Asil kamei dedaina, she had a case, she had a claim that she wanted to press in front of a judge. Omro le, and she said the following. And what the Gemara presents here is a corruption of what she should have said. So if we read this line, we then have to make reference to Rashi, phrase by phrase, to see what she should have been saying. But before we do the Gemara itself, well, let us point out that you have a woman that has a claim. She wants to advance or place in court. And what she needs to claim is that she had a type of tavla, a tray, or a board that she claims someone had stolen from her. And she also attempts to describe the size of the board. And she should be saying that it was so large that if it were suspended from the judge, if the judge would have dangled it or suspended this board, it would have been it would have reached his feet. However, what comes out is something quite corrupt, something different, and that's again a function of this inability to be medayik belishna, to be careful in one's speech. So the woman has a case, and we explained already what the case, what she should have been claiming, but what came out was Amrulay, she said as follows, Mori Kiri. The word Kiri, spelled with a chaf, is a servant, a slave. So she says, she addresses the judge in this demeaning fashion. She says, Sir, Mr. Slave, Tifla Havis Li, I had a tifla. Some translate the word as tifla means I had a child, but she needed to say tavla. I had a beam. So she says tifla havisli. I had this tifla, the ganvuch min. And she what? And it was stolen. She wanted to say it was stolen from me. But she, what came out in her speech was that the gunvu min means they stole the judge, they stole you. Uchidu havis dochi shodru loch iluya lo moti karuch aara. And what she comes out saying, which is of course a corruption of what she should have said, is that if they would have hung you from it, if they would have hung you from the beam, so your feet wouldn't have reached the ground. But what she meant to say is that if the judge had suspended or had dangled this board, the board wouldn't have reached the ground. The Rashi explains a little bit more. Uboya lomar uchedon havis vaod hoysa maskeris tliya bedayin vameres im toilin oysa cholea. If she said if they would have hung the judge from the beam, which of course is a corruption of what we said she should have been saying. We continue in the Gemara. Omsa Debei Rebbe. We have a few stories or two comments made by this maidservant in the house of Rebbe. And we introduced the house marking before prematurely, but it has to do with Dibur B'Loshon Chachoma. It's speech that one makes in a coded form. So in the house of Rebbe there was a maidservant, Kihavis Mishtai B'Loshon Chachoma, when she chose to speak in this riddle or hint form that we call Loshon Chachoma, Omra, she would say something, Omra Hachi, she would say the following. Now, we should just preface here that the Amsa Debei Rebbe, amongst her different charges, was supervising the distribution of meals, or serving of meals, to the students. So she would say the following, Olos Natis Bekad Yadu Nishraya Lekinehon. Olos is a ladle. When the ladle nakfis bakad, when it bangs in the jug, in other words, there's an indication here that the jug is empty of the wine that was served as part of a meal, so that when the ladle would bang on the empty jug, yidun nishraya lekineon, literally the eagles shall fly to their nests. But it's an indication that the no more food is going to be served. Rashi says, "Yechu tamidim lebateim klomer yifsiku sudasan shein od yayin." It's time to conclude the meal, being that there is no more wine. Number two, "Vekad have boy delisvun," and on another occasion when it was time to have them be seated, "Have omra lehu," she would say the following: "Yadi basu chaverta mina." V'taskefi alos bekad kiufa de azlo biyoma. Rashi explains this. Yadi boser chaverta mina nasir megufas chavis ha'acheres v'nimzog od. Let us remove the seal of a barrel, of another barrel, to enable us to pour more wine. So yadi boser chaverta, we explained. And the taskefi alos means the ladle shall float in the wine, indicating there is wine to be served. Ki'ufa, as a boat, the Oslo Biyama, as a boat, floats on the high seas. Rabbi Yossi bar Asyon ki have mishtoi b'loshon chachoma. When Rabbi Yossi wanted to speak in this riddle fashion, Rashi adds here shelo yovinu achirim, that others shouldn't understand. So Omar, he would say the following. Here we can translate, but the real meaning is something totally different. So Omar osuli shor b'mishpat b'tor miskein. He would say, prepare for me an ox in judgment in the Tur Miskain, the poor mountain. But what he is really asking for is a shor. In Hebrew is also known as a tor in Aramaic. So, and the word mishpat means judgment, also can be the word din. So if you combine these two words, shor b'mishpat, you come out to tradin. Tradin is a type of vegetation. So the when Rabbi Yossi wanted to have Traden prepared for him, he would say this, Osuli Tor Shor B'Mishpat. Now, Batur Miskain, the word Tur is a har, a mountain, but the word mountain also can be interchanged, the hay with a ches. You come out with the word har, or in this case, har, and Miskain is a poor man, dal, har dal. You get the word prepare for me Traden with hardal. Hardal is often translated as mustard. But you can see that it was coded in his sentence. V'kara v'shoyel bu'shbiza, Omar hochi. And when Rav Yossi bar Asyon wanted to ask about the nature of an inn, an ushpiza, he would say the following, Gvar pumdein chai mazu tivoyesh. But these words in and of themselves can be translated literally, but they would have this phrase would have very little to no meaning to it. But what he's really asking, when he says Gvar pum dein chai, the word Gvar is like the word ish or ush, and pum is a mouth. P, the also meaning mouth. Dein chai is like this. That's the word ush pizichna. And ma zu toivoyesh meant how good is the hospitality there. Rabbi Avo ki have mishtoi beloshon chachoma have omar hochi. When Rabbi Avo wanted to speak with using loshon chachoma, he would say the following. Again, it's a phrase that has a totally different meaning than the literal translation. Here he is actually asking them to start roasting for him a meal. So in order to fire up the coals, he would say the following, Asrigu lipchomim arkiu lizohavin, viasu li shnei magite barlota, iko diamri, viasu li bohen shnei magide barlota. So a little further explanation is necessary. The expression asrigu lipchomim, asrigu is associated with the word esrog, which is a certain color, a goldenish type of color, which is similar to coals when they are red hot. So he's saying, heat up the coals so that I can, Rashi says, lishamim kenegdon, so that I should be able to heat up in their presence. That's asrigu lepachamim arkiu lezahavim. That's what we meant by heating up the coals. And hot coals or glowing coals are red, like certain types of gold. The additional expression, V'yosu lishnei magide balota, means prepare for me two of those that inform about darkness. That's, again, a literal translation. It means it's a reference to chickens that start to cackle, indicating the oncoming of daylight while it's still dark. That's magide balota. V'iko diamri v'yasu li bohen shnei magide balota. This version says to prepare on the coals two chickens, as opposed to the first lotion, which indicated heat up the coals so that they could be a source of heat. No, here it's heat up the coals, fire up the coals so that you can prepare roasted chicken on them. Amrule Ravonon Rabbi Avo. We have two incidents here that we decided to mark with a bow tie, and under our Mivne heading, Hatspinenu means Harenu Hechon Rebbe so-and-so. Two incidents where they turn to different rabbis and say, show us where so-and-so is located. So in the first story, the Rabbanon turned to Rabbi Avo, Hatspinenu Hechon Rabbi Eloi Tzofun. Show us, reveal to us where Rabbi Avo is hidden. There's a certain play on words over here. The word Hatspinenu means to show us, to reveal, and Tzofun means hidden. So it's the same word having a double opposite meaning. So the Rabbonin asked Rabbi Avo, show us where Rabbi Eloi is hidden. Omar Lohen. So he said, and here again you have this coded type expression, Olatz Benar Aharonis, Aharonis, Ayranis, Vahan Iroso. Avo told them that, listen, you're not going to find Rabbi Eloi because he's very tired and he's sleeping. Why? Because he was up all night. Now, why was he up all night? So there's, first of all, Olatz means he was kept awake. Binara Aharonis. The word Aharonis has to do with Aharon, which is a reference to a Bas Kohen. There's another expression here. Acharonis means last one, meaning he had, this was a second marriage for him. He had his first wife, and this is his latter marriage. Eironis is a, this, the woman just described here is Bas Kohen that he married as his second marriage, is a woman that is, Eironis, very lively, sharp woman. The Hani Russo that kept him awake all night. Now, in referring to the story of Rabbi Loi Amri Lo Isha, some say, as we explained, it was a reference to very specifically his wife, that she kept him up all night. The Amri Lo Masechta, another version is that it's really a reference to, the Aharonis is not a reference to his wife, but rather to a tractate of Gemara that deals with Kochim, that deals with the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, which is under the charge of Aharon, hence Aharonis. And using the Masechta explanation, you go over the different terms that the Gemara presented, and Rashi explains that it's an area of deep learning and arouses those that learn it, and hence he was kept awake, being preoccupied with this limud of something from Seder Kodshim. Amri lei l'Rabbi Eloi, they asked of Rabbi Eloi, Hatzpinenu hechon Rabbi Avo tzafun, show us where Rabbi Avo is hidden. Amar lehen nisyoyitz b'machtir v'hingiv l'mefiboishes. Again, a coded expression, but means he sought counsel with Machtir. Machtir is a reference to someone who crowns, and in this case, it's those that crown rabbis with the title Rebbe. So Rabbi Avo had sought Rishus from the Nasi. The Nasi is the leader who, in general, as we say, gives Talmidei Chachamim the right to paskin shayas, to rule on questions. So Rabbi Avo had consulted with the Nasi, and he went to the south. Hingiv is to go to the south. L'Mefiboshes. Mefiboshes is a son of Shaul HaMelech, or a grandson of Shaul HaMelech, from a descendant of Yonah's son, who was very smart, very wise, as the Gemara indicates at the beginning of Maseches Brachos. So he went to Rabbi Avo went to the Nasi in Hingiv is in the south, to where there were Talmidei Chachamim. Mefiboshes is simply a reference to Talmidei Chachamim, or the Ziknei Dorom, who were very wise sages. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Miyomai lo nitzchani Adam, I was never defeated by anybody. Chutz mi'isha v'tinoikes v'tinok, except for three incidents, one involving a woman, another a little girl, and the third a little boy. And here the Gemara, in by way of markings, you can see we have triangles with colored in tips. These are the three stories of those that defeated Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Isha Maihi, what's the story involving the woman? Pam achas nisarachti etzel achsanya achas. On one occasion, I was hosted by a woman in her inn, Ostali Pulin, and she prepared a dish of Pulin for me to eat. Pulin is a type of vegetation. V'yom rishon achaltim v'lo shiarti mehen klum. On the first day, I ate from them and I left nothing over. Shnia v'lo shiarti mehen klum. On the second day, I ate from them and left nothing. Nothing over. B'yom shlishi hik di chosan b'melach. On the third day, he put too much salt. They were di chosan literally is to be burnt, but here it means Rashi says nosna bo melach yosemidai. She placed more than enough salt in the pulin. Kevon shetoamti, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya tells us that when I tasted it, Moshachti Yodei Mehen, I withdrew my hand from them. Amro Li, and she said to me, Rebbe, Neima Incho Soed, why aren't you eating? Omarti Lo, Kvar Soadati Miva'od Yom. Says, well, because I already ate while it was still day. Amro Li, Hoyaloch Limshoch Yodecho Minapas. Amro Li, she says, if you are already hungry, then you should have withdrawn your hand from the bread as well. Rebbe, Shema Lohinachto Peo Borishonim. Maybe what happened here is that from, let's see, through the divine will, the food became inedible or overly salted, because maybe you didn't leave Peo Borishonim. What does that mean? To leave peah, which is a corner of, in this case, a corner of the dish with food in it. Don't finish every last morsel off. That little bit will be left for the ones serving the meal to eat from it. And that's what she was saying to Rebbe. Maybe the reason that your pulin got ruined is because you didn't leave shemalo hinachta peah borishona. Peah is the corner of the bowl with a little food in it. V'lo kachom ruchachomim, was it not taught already, ein mishairin peo be'ilfis, avo mishairin peo be'kora, that one doesn't leave peo in the ilfis, is the skillet, the pan in which the food is cooked, but you are expected to leave the peo, the portion of food, for the waiter, for the servant. And this halacha says that the concept of leaving peah is not done in a pan, but rather it's done in the kora, from the bowl from which you are eating. Tinoikis maihi, what's the a story involving a little girl that got the last word in or got the better of Rabbi Yeshua? Pamachas hoisi malach bederech, once I was on the road, vohisa derech oiveres besada, and there was a path that cut through a field. And I was walking on this path. Omali Tinoikis Achas, a little girl, said to me, Rebbe, lo sodehizu, is this not a field? Omarti lo, lo derek vushahi, is this not a path, a trodden path cutting through the field? So, like, what's wrong with what I'm doing? Omra li, so the little girl said to me, Listim kamoscha kivshua. Other thieves, previous thieves like yourself that walk through fields illegally, they trampled this field, creating the path. So the path, the fact that there's a path is not an indication that it's some, that it's an area on which it's mutter to cut through. Tinok my he, what's the case involving the little boy? Pamachasisi mahach b'derech, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina teaches us that once he was on the road, and I saw a little boy sitting at a crossroads. And I asked the little boy, "Which path should we take to get to the city?" So the little boy says, pointing to one path, it's short but long, and the other path is long but short. Valachti b'ktsor v'aruka. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I chose the path that was short but long. Kevon shigati li'ir, motzosi shemekifin oisa gagos u'pardesin. When I got to the city, I saw that it was surrounded by ginos, by gardens and pardesin, orchards. Meaning that there was no access, no direct access to the city. It was surrounded by areas that one cannot cut through. Charzati lo charai, so I retraced my steps. Omarti lo, and I said to the child, Bini, halo omarto li ktsora. You told me that this was a short path. I took it to the end, and I found that I couldn't get into the city. Omar li, velo omarti lo haruka. Did I not tell you that it was a long path? In other words, when the kid originally answered the question, he said to him, Zu Ktsara Varuka. Well, Nashakti Val Rosho Vilmarti Lo, I kissed the little boy on his head and I said to him, Ashrechem Yisrael Shekulchem Chachom Gedolim Atem Migdulchem Ad Ketanchem. That fortunate are you, O people of Israel, that all of you are wise, from the elders to the youth. In other words, what Rabbi Shua Bechanai saw in this child was a certain sharpness in terms of answer, that the path that you chose was the, as I said, Ksora Varuka. In his distance wise, it was short. However, time length wise, it would be long. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Havikozil Burucha, a story involving Rabbi Yossi Aglili walking on the road. Ashke Lebruya, now we have a marking here, this inverted house marking, Shnei Maisim in Bruya, as we've indicated under the side, under the Mivneh heading. So two stories involving Bruya. Bruya was the wife of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili was on the road, Ashkecha Lebruya, he met up with Bruya, Omar Lo, and he asked her, Beze Derech Nelech Lelud, which path should we take to get to Lud, name of a city? Omra Le, so she said to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Glili Shoite, foolish Galilean, Lo Kacham, Omru Chacham, Lachom, not say, Al Tarbe Sichoi Moisha, you should not have lengthy conversation with a woman. Hoyoloch Lomar, after you're talking to me and I am a woman, you should have been more abbreviated in your question. You should have said, Be'eze Lelud. As opposed to saying, Be'eze Derech Nelech Lelud, you could have simply said, Be'eze Lelud, and that too would have been understood, and it's a more concise sentence. Bruya Ashkachte Lehu Talmida David Kogoris B'lechisha. Bruya met up with a Torah student who was learning, but in silence. The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Botsha Bay Omra Le, she kicked the student, and she said to him, Lokach Kosev Arucha B'chol Shmura, that is a posuk, Im Arucha B'ramach Evorim Shelcha if mishtameres v'im lav eino mishtameres, if the Torah is part of your fabric. Literally, ramach evorim are the 248 limbs making up a person. So if the Torah is set up inside of you properly, so then it will guard. It will be guarded. That mishtameres means you'll maintain it, you'll remember it. But if it's not Aruka Barama Chivorim, then Eino Mishtameres. Tana. We have introduce here a couple of sources. You'll see the common nature of these sources. Tana. Talmid Echon Hoya L'Rebbe Eliezer. Sheyeshayne Balachash. Belozer had a student, and some Girsos say Belozer Ben Yankiv had a student who was learning but in silence. La'achar gimulshonim shochach tamudo. After 3 years, he forgot his learning, and that is associated with his learning balachash. Balachash means in silence. Tana tamadeh chorhoyo lo l'Rabbi Lezer, shinizchayev v'sreifo l'mokom. There was a student that was condemned to being killed through fire. Omru anichulo, they said, leave him be. Adam Godol Shimesh, he served a great man. So in the merit of his having served a great man, he should be spared of his sentence. With this, we just want to remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.